This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
Girls, the gay and lesbian singers, started 20 years ago. It's our 20th anniversary this year, and started really as an event or as a group of people which got together to actually support Michael Pometier in his Pride event. I think it's grown from that into a group of people really who are celebrating gay and lesbian people in Auckland, and also I guess in New Zealand and internationally too.
So Michael's event back in 1992, mm-hmm. What was that part of?
That was the hero performance that he choreographed and designed and everything, and the choir sang some songs as part of that.
Had there ever been like a gay and lesbian choir in New Zealand before that point?
Not that we're aware of, no.
And for a long time we were the only gay and lesbian choir in New Zealand, weren't
we? That's right, until last year.
Are there still members in the choir that sang in the original thing with Michael Pometier?
There are. There are two or three, yes.
So they're pretty stalwart members, yes, aren't they? And yeah, it's good to have people who've been travelling the journey with us for the whole time. You know, certainly they're somewhat vocal in terms of actually trying to direct the choir now, so it's fantastic. So I think, you know, my role as a chairman really is to steer GALS forward for the next 20 years. And, you know, we've been thinking about renewal and relevance in terms of that. So us being able to engage in an audience for the next 20 years is something which is really important to me. And when I took over the role 3 months or so ago from Kerry Stevens, you know, it really was a challenge that Kerry put to the choir around, you know, being relevant and thinking about what we're trying to do into the future.
How did you both get involved?
A friend of mine was part of the choir that I joined about 13 years ago, and she knew that I liked singing, even though I wasn't involved in any musical activity at the time. And she said, why don't you come along? So I came to one of their performances at Alleluia Cafe and thought, yeah, I can do this. So I don't read music, but the choir's really welcoming for people of all ages and all abilities. So, yeah.
And I first got to know GALS as part of the Gay Games in Cologne in 2010, and they were the only choir who had made the journey to Europe from Down Under, and were really well received, and just really got to appreciate just what you can do for an organisation of you know, essentially volunteers, and came back and decided I'd put my hat into the ring.
Has that been a big thing for GALS in terms of going out to events like the Gay Games in Cologne? Has that been right the way through the history of the GALS?
Yes, they went to Amsterdam. I'm not sure what year that was. It was before I joined. And went to the Gay Games in Sydney, and the Out Games as well because of the split and so on. Certainly been involved in quite a few international events like that, and not the whole choir in some cases the whole choir went, in some cases it was small groups of people from the choir who represented the choir internationally. Mm.
So when you saw them perform in Cologne, what did you think?
I just felt that it was a very professional event, put together very thoughtfully, and some of the songs were uniquely New Zealand songs. So it was just, I suppose, a way of actually feeling at home away from home. So that probably works on a number of levels, you know, in a group of people who are gay and lesbian and celebrating gay and lesbian life and culture and sport. You know, it's fantastic to be part of that.
So with the repertoire, is there much New Zealand content? How does that work?
We have a very good relationship with David Hamilton, who's a New Zealand composer, and we have asked him to put some music together for some words that we wanted, or he has chosen a poem and then put it to music for us. We also have sung a lot of Māori songs, and we worked with Mahina Rangitoka several times, and she wrote a song for us, which we performed several times. So we do try and sing quite a lot of New Zealand music.
And I think, you know, one of the things for me that reinforces that, going back to the Out Games in Cologne a couple of years ago, in the fact that, you know, the songs that were uniquely Māori or uniquely Aotearoa, you know, I think they really did resonate with the international audience, and I think, you know, it underpins the fact that, you know, we are a very unique culture down in New Zealand, and perhaps sometimes we forget about that in terms of us being a gay and lesbian, you know, choir in as part of a very unique culture in an international sense. Yeah,
it's also, I think, quite significant that you're commissioning people to write music or set music to words. And do you see that as quite an important thing, that actually you're actually creating material around, like, either events or whatever? I mean, you're actually creating stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, yes. And we're hoping to do the same for our 20th anniversary as well, create a new piece of music, and it goes out in the world as having been commissioned by Gals.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, personally for me, when I opened David's work and we sing that, you know, he's commissioned or we've commissioned and he's composed a piece of work for us for our next concert, when you read at the top of there's a dedication to us as a group of people, that you know, does make me feel very proud, and you know, I feel very special around that. And, you know, that's probably our little bit of history, isn't it, really?
True.
That you know, will be there and available for others in the future.
So if I was starting out as a newbie and wanted to come into the choir, what would the process be? How would I go about that?
You'd contact our membership person, and they would invite you to a rehearsal, and you'd be paired up with a buddy, and you'd have a voice test to see which of the four parts your voice sits in and where you'd be most comfortable singing. Some people prefer just to come along and listen to a rehearsal and rather than launch in straight away, and we're happy with that. And also some people, like I did, come to a performance before actually coming to a rehearsal.
For somebody that's never sung before, like, how did you feel kind of going into that environment?
Yeah, I felt really comfortable, and I suppose, you know, there's always an element of, how will this turn out? But I think, you know, Gals is such a supportive organisation and a great bunch of people that I didn't feel particularly concerned about that. So I think anybody who's got an interest in singing or you know, performance should come along and try us out.
I find it really uplifting. I really enjoy Tuesday night rehearsals in particular. I do sometimes find it a bit hard to get to sleep that night because I'm so buoyed up. Yeah, it's really uplifting, I find, I guess because I love singing. And I'm not a solo performer, so I really enjoy singing with others.
And I also find that, you know, the combination of the different voices, the four voices working together, you know, we're often over 40 people, you know, you can make an incredible sound with that many people. Really quite powerful.
So the makeup of, say, that group of 40, can you describe the kind of people that are coming along and singing?
We have various age ranges from probably from about early 20s through to our oldest member, who would be, you know, close to 80. So, you know, it's a wide range of ages, and yeah. But I think the common thread for me is that everybody's always very interested about supporting other people who are coming along. Yeah, and certainly as an executive, we do take that very seriously about making sure that people feel supported, because, you know, to some extent, you know, people join the choir not only because of the singing, but they also want it as an affirmation of them and their sexuality. which they can obviously get from being part of Gales that they can't get from being part of another choir. And there are a large number of choirs in Auckland, so we certainly know that there's a lot of competition for people out there.
So is Gales open to straight people?
Yes, we have a couple of straight people at the moment, and we have had throughout the Gales history. And I'm not sure why people choose to come along, but we support them, and they're part of the social group just as much as everybody else. Yeah.
So as a newbie going to the first rehearsal, if I can't read music, how does that work when you're trying to learn new material?
I think it does take a little bit of time to actually, get up to speed. I think reflecting on my journey, it probably took me a couple of weeks to actually feel confident to actually sing out. You always feel the power of those people around you in terms of actually guiding you and finding your voice amongst a group of people who are put together. I think it's a really supportive environment. And very quickly, I think then you get to the point of being able to read music well enough to actually participate as part of a group. It probably takes, 2 or 3 weeks to actually understand, the basics and build from that point. Yeah.
And another thing is, in the past, what we've found is that the choir is really good at schmaltzy and show kind of tunes. And, for example, even though it may not be overtly queer, a gay and lesbian choir singing If I Loved You, which is just so full of longing and desire and so on, can be read as a gay song by the audience. Yeah.
What are some other examples of songs that you would class as gay and lesbian?
Sometimes we do change the lyrics, and there's a song that the men sang, for example, I Feel Pretty. We do sing some overtly gay and lesbian repertoire. Email Me Your Queer Love is one that we sang from an American composer.
We're quite adept at changing the words to actually reflect them, our interpretation of them. Part of being who we are is actually celebrating the music in the context of a group of gay and lesbian people.
It's an interesting idea, isn't it, about how far you kind of push the kind of gay lesbian side of things, whether it's actually in the music or whether it's just because it's a group of gay and lesbian people
That's
performing.
Right. Yeah. And there is a tension there.
Yeah.
Some members want it to be a lot more so gay and lesbian oriented in terms of the repertoire. And some members, their elderly parents attend and they don't necessarily feel so comfortable with that.
I guess that also influences you in terms of what kind of concerts you do and where you do those.
We started out fairly early on performing at places like the Auckland College of Education, as it was then called, in one of their music rooms. More lately, we've been performing at Auckland Grammar, which is kind of ironic. They don't have, for example, they don't have a student gay group in that school. We've also performed in Greyland Community Centre, Freemans Bay Community Centre, the Town Hall. We had a major performance there for Out and Loud, which was a festival that we held for Australasian gay and lesbian choirs.
And I think if we look back over the last 20 years, we, as part of our sort of community choir focus, we've actually also sung at community events and civil unions and things like that. And I think, certainly as we look to the future, my desire and belief is that we'll perhaps get back to doing more of that work as well. So to be out in the community and actually that part of the community choir point, as well as the other big concerts that we actually do. And I know certainly Stephen, the musical director, is very keen that we actually step up as a choir and do more. I guess the question is, well, what do we do and what don't we do? Because there's a lot of things we could do. We just need to choose to do it.
Have you ever surveyed your kind of singers and actually asked why they came to the choir?
Yeah, I think that would be an interesting reflection. I mean, my view would be that some people come because they sense a community and feel, want to be part of something special. And I think, you know, we do reflect on the fact that because we're non-auditioned, you know, we do have to be very mindful of the fact that people join GALS for a number of reasons, one of which may be that they want to create beautiful music, but the actual part of being part of something special, because, you know, it's a community and we speak to community and we're part of the community, I think is also very important. Yeah, but we should definitely do that, Catherine. We should try and do that in our 20th year.
You mentioned schools before, and I'm wondering how easy is it to get kind of younger people involved in something like this?
It's something we've been pondering, actually, because it hasn't been easy. We are attempting to link up with Rainbow Youth.
You know, when we look forward 20 years and what GALS will be in 20 years, you know, my personal view is that we do need to get better connected with youth and thinking about, well, what would engage and make you know, the more youthful members of the community actually feel part of GALS. My sense around that is that Gen Y are often very cause focused, and so perhaps there's an element of actually thinking about, well, how could we make GALS a more cause focused organisation as opposed to just an organisation.
What would be an example?
Well, I think maybe that speaks back to the genesis of GALS, you know, 20 years ago, about being part of, you know, very significant events or being part of things which are clearly stamped around, you know, celebrating gay and lesbian queer life and you know, maybe we need to think more about that because I think that might be one way of actually you know, better engaging to more youthful people. You know, certainly from my perspective, I would love to have the journey for GALS be about reducing the age profile and being more connected to youth. Particularly in, you know, Auckland and, you know, definitely in New Zealand. Certainly, I mean, the next concert that we're singing in June, we're actually singing for gay and lesbian Auckland and the communities, the community groups that are out there. And it's been quite an interesting revelation for me personally when we look at some of the organisations and see that, in fact, you know, those organisations that were alive 20 years ago are perhaps not as active now. So certainly, you know, our concert in June, we really need to celebrate all of the other groups that are around in Auckland. So that's why we're calling it Out in the City. You know, we really want to celebrate that fact.
Also, I think that a lot of people would still be members of GALS if we didn't actually do performances. I think it is really important to do performances because you're always working towards something and that you have a goal and you are seeking to improve your sound and performance and so on. But I think there are a lot of people who still would, if we didn't perform, would still really enjoy the singing and the social side of it.
I think for me it's a combination of actually hearing the sound and feeling part of really something special. So I, you know, I can say that both from being an audience member looking at GALS and hearing and seeing them. You know, I get a kick actually about showing my mother, who actually is in England, you know, the video clips which are on YouTube, which we post, and hear her feedback around that. I guess it makes me feel proud, and you know, that I can do something which makes or gives other people pleasure. So I think that for me is the, you know, the key thing.
Yeah, as I said before, I really enjoy the singing. And as Ashley said, the combination of the voices. And sometimes during rehearsal, when a certain part is asked to repeat something or learn something, and I'm in the sopranos, and I think, oh, they're singing that. How amazing, you know. And then when it all comes together, it just sounds so great.
You mentioned before about the Out and Loud Music Festival. Can you tell me what was that and what was your part in it?
It started as, from my understanding, from an Australasian connection that was made a few years ago. And there was a festival held in Sydney, and there was one held in Melbourne. And Gowles was asked to also be the organisers and have one in Auckland. And so choirs from Cairns, Perth, all the Australasian choirs, and
The
Homophones. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Gowles actually organised that festival, and it was over a weekend. It had workshops. It was held at AUT, and then we had a major performance in the town hall.
So, I mean, I think, you know, for me that speaks to the fact that we are part of an Australasian community of gay and lesbian choirs, and, you know, certainly when we look across the other side of the Tasman, we see people like Sydney gay and lesbian choir, and you know, perhaps that gives us inspiration in terms of the fact that we're, you know, 40 to 50 people there, up at the 200 level people, and you know, you can do a huge amount more when you've got 200 people than you can with 50. I mean, we're probably at the largest size we've ever been as a choir in our 20th year. So to me, that speaks to the fact that we must be doing something right. And if we look across the other side of the Tasman, we can see people perhaps who we can aspire to in the future. Certainly, Stephen, the musical director, is of a view that you know, if we can move and have Gowles be doing work in the intensity that SGLC are doing, then you know, we really will have achieved something fantastically special.
What was it like singing in that kind of massed environment when you've got the town hall pretty much full?
Pretty scary, but it was marvellous. And also that was maybe the second or third time that the refurbished organ was used, and we had a piece that was composed specifically for that, and that was just wonderful. And we also had Karen Grills, a guest conductor, who... You know, that the level of professionalism for the mass choirs was just amazing.
Do you think there's a difference between being part of a gay and lesbian choir and being part of just a straight choir?
I don't know. A few of us went down to Oakuni one year to a choral festival for a whole lot of choirs throughout New Zealand, and we were, you know, we really enjoyed being sort of within a whole lot of other choirs. Some of them were a bit sort of taken aback at us. You know, this was a few years ago. But most of them were pretty welcoming. Yeah.
When you say taken aback, what do you mean?
Well, just hadn't come across gay and lesbian people before, perhaps, yeah.
I think my sense would be that we're a little bit more fun and a little bit more... I think a little bit more welcoming, perhaps, than I would imagine most straight choirs would be. I mean, we are really thoughtful about welcoming anybody who comes along, and you know, I guess as an executive, we reflect on the fact that people may want to join Gowles not because just the fact that they want to sing, but because they want to be part of something and identify as being, you know, part of something in the gay and lesbian community, and so we really work hard to support people who you know, are excited and committed and want to learn and are starting perhaps in their singing journey.
And I guess when we say gay and lesbian, we probably should be saying queer, because transgender and intersex and any other sexuality are also part of the choir as well.
Which kind of leads on to the kind of final kind of questions in terms of, like, where is the choir going? And I guess in terms of even, like, terminology, is there discussion within the choir about, you know, kind of like going from something like Gowles to, I'm not sure what the acronym would be, but...
No. some people felt a bit uncomfortable at calling the next concert or having the word queer in as part of the subtitle. I noticed when I put an ad for it in the lesbian newsletter, they actually changed it to GLBTI. And the first time they put it in, they didn't the second time. We haven't actually talked recently about changing the name of GALS. Some straight people do. Some we sang at a concert as part of the a garden festival or something a few years ago, and some people came up. Do the men mind being called girls? You know, and GALS. Yeah, we haven't really thought recently about changing the name.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question, Gareth, and I think we probably do need to think about, well, you know, the world of GLBT, you know, is moving forward, and you know, are we speaking to that world, and how well connected are we speaking to that world? Mm. And I mean, my sense, I guess, to build what Catherine said is that we've been doing a pretty good job. But you can always do more, can't you? Yeah. I don't have any problem being called GALS either, Catherine. So.